Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
I've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league. Woo!
On a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Welcome back to it. Yeah, it's all thanks to our mates at King G. Thanks to King G too for the shorts. We're all out wearing our King G shorts today in the khaki and they look absolutely fantastic. If you've missed the news this morning at a press conference, the NRL have announced they will continue on into round two. The Warriors will be based in Australia on the Gold Coast for the for the foreseeable future. Just checking the emails too. We get one here from Woodsy who says, "Show's sounding great, mate. Love your work, Maroon. You're a legend." But wanted to mention that he saw Kenty at George Thorogood. How was George Thorogood, Kenty?
He was good.
Bad to the bone. Did he do that one?
He did them all. He was unreal.
Isn't he great?
I be honest with you? It was one of the great concerts. He'd say good. And the best thing about concerts is when the guy actually up there, whoever's performing, actually is enjoying it more than everybody else.
Yeah.
And because then you just go along for the ride.
Yeah. You know, I met George Thorogood once.
Oh, that's...
For those old enough to remember the Cardoma Cafe. In the Cardoma Cafe at about 4 o'clock one morning.
I don't remember it.
I was looking at my eyelids and then walked up.
You were blowing bubbles. You were blowing bubbles, cutting shapes and looking at your eyelids, Anthony.
I think CNC Music Factory were playing. Anyway, it's the Sunday Sinbin. It's Hoops, it's Kenty, and it's Ryan Girdler. We did touch on it briefly, that win for the Panthers last night over the Roosters. You made the point there too, Paul. Probably a good time to get the Roosters at round one. They lost round one last year.
Yeah, I was just saying to Hoops, to Gerds here off air, that I just think that if you're going to get the Roosters, because the Roosters are one of those teams that if you can bank a win against the Roosters, you've got a win there. You've got 2 points that not a lot of teams are going to get. And if you get the Roosters in round one, they lost round one last year against South because they do so much travel now as the reigning premiers. That they have sort of not the same off-season preparation as other teams, which is much more settled. So Roosters round one, I think that's probably when they're a little bit more vulnerable than the rest of the time. So I just think that Penrith had an opportunity there, and to their credit, they went out and got the job done.
Boys, Hoops.
I think Abby Corrissau is going to be one of the buyers of the year.
Yeah, look, I mean, it was always a little bit of a concern, wasn't it, that, you know, he's... The form that he showed in Manly over the last couple of seasons, given the fact that he's got some world-class players around him, you know, the Trbojevic is pushing through the middle, Daly Cherry Evans, I mean, great footballers in their own right, but that combination, you know, really allowed him to blossom, didn't it? And a little bit concerned that obviously going there with a different roster with Penrith, they didn't have a six, they didn't have a one with Dylan Edwards coming into the season, it was going to take, you know, a certain amount of time just to get things together. But, you know, they've had obviously a really strong off-season, they pulled it together and they performed really well last night and they can build from there.
Okay, Triple M, this is Sunday Sinbin. Celebrations do our interviews. Celebrations present right now the Penrith Panthers halfback and all-round good guy, Nathan Cleary. Thanks for your time on a Sunday afternoon and welcome.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, congratulations on last night. Nice finish. Nice last 15, 20 minutes, mate, from Isaiah Yeo.
Yeah, 100%. I thought Yeo was probably one of our best players. Last year, obviously, I was dealing with injuries and coming off a shoulder injury and you know, I thought he was our best player in the trial. And then, yeah, that last 15, 20, I think he's kind of found his home in the middle. And that late footwork was causing some problems for the Roosters.
Nathan, we just talked about Appy Corrissau and what he's brought to the club. From your point of view as the halfback, how much is he helping your game?
Oh, heaps. You know, I can't speak highly of what Appy's doing, not only on the field, but just in training that as well. He's so knowledgeable and he's been around. He's got experience, won a comp, so he's been really good for all of us in the spine, and you know, just the way he can roll the forwards and he knows exactly what he's doing. He's pretty crafty out there as well. You know, I think he's a very underrated player, and you know, I loved playing alongside him last night.
I'm just wondering, is it fair to say, look, we've been waiting for Penrith, they've been on the launch pad for a few years now, and you've had a couple of indifferent seasons, but do you think you could almost put him in the position that he's sort of the last link you need to start making that kick now, because he really strengthens your spine. Obviously, you've already got some you know, some terrific forwards and outside backs. So he sort of completes the picture in many ways.
Yeah, I think so in a way. You know, I think definitely got a long way to go, but, you know, he's definitely kind of that missing piece of the puzzle that we've been fiddling around with the last few years. And, you know, although the guys that were there the last few years are still rate highly, they were pretty inexperienced. You know, as I said, Appy's got that experience. He's won a comp. So, you know, he brings a lot to this team and, you know, we're all loving having him at the club.
Nathan, one of the criticisms of Penrith last season was that you're a little bit predictable. I know it's only one game into the year so far, but from what we've seen of your attack, and we've touched on the influence of Appy, clearly this year you've decided you're going to take a whole new blueprint towards how you do things.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think having Appy there definitely opens that up, even having Jerome in the halves too. You know, he's a lot of X-factor. And, you know, I probably haven't changed too much, just trying to be on the ball a lot more and being around the ruck and just trying to be that organiser. But, you know, I've been lucky to have the coaching staff as well, and having Baz come in, he's been really good for my game too. So looking forward to the year ahead.
I was just about to ask you about Trent Barrett coming in, because he's been brought in to liven up your attack. What's he done specifically?
He's just brought in a few different structures that he thought would kind of suit us a bit better, just the kind of players we have in the team, which was important, I think. And, you know, I thought they... It worked pretty well last night. There's obviously some stuff we need to fix up. You know, just missed a few opportunities, but you know, I thought it worked pretty well. And, you know, obviously playing a fair bit off Appy, because he is such a crafty player, he's added a lot more to our attack as well.
Yeah, now tell us a little bit more about Stephen Crichton. We obviously saw Caleb Aitkins have a pretty good game to start off, but when young Stephen come on, there's been a lot of noise around this kid for the last couple of seasons. Scored on his first touch. Player of the future?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's kind of summing up coming on the field and scoring with his first touch. He just kind of, it wreaks the confidence, and you know, they see him out. You know, he's dangerous every time he gets the ball. And, you know, the funny thing about him is, you know, it's the first preseason he's even touched the weight. So I think he's only going to get better. He's electric with the ball. He's definitely X factor, and I'm looking forward to seeing him develop.
How much of a how much attention are the players paying to this this viral issue that the game's facing at the moment? Is it something you guys discuss? Was it discussed amongst the dressing room or with the CEO last night?
Oh, not too much. You know, we just keep getting updated with what's going on. Obviously, you know, there's a lot more people with a lot more knowledge on it than what us players do. We're just kind of going with the flow at the moment and seeing what happens. But you know, it's a big thing in the world at the moment, and something that kind of needs to be dealt with.
Just on that, Nathan, like there are all sorts of options being considered at the moment to the NRL, from suspending the competition, which could mean some sort of effect in players being paid. There's also been talk about relocating and putting them all in one town to keep them all together and hopefully away from the virus and playing there. Do you have a preference of how, or can you tell us how those sort of different scenarios would affect you?
Yeah, I'm probably one of the lucky ones. You know, I don't have kids. I don't have a girlfriend or a wife, so it's easier for me to say that, you know, I'm happy with whatever happens. But, you know, there's people that have families and see what's going on with the Warriors at the moment. You know, it's a pretty big chunk of their lives. And, you know, it's everyone always says, you know, family comes over football. And as I said, you know, it's easy for me to say I'm happy with whatever goes down. But I guess you'd have to ask people with families and how they spend their time.
But so you're happy to go and say sit in Townsville for a month, 6 weeks, and just play up out of there and stay there? Or are you happy the fact that, like if the NRL came to you with an option of going there or suspending the competition, which way do you think you'd want to go?
Obviously, it's not my preference, but I'm kind of at a stage where, you know, if it's what we need to do, I'm happy to do it. You know, I think it's, with doing that, though, it's kind of only a matter of time until, you know, a player gets the coronavirus, and then, you know, what happens from there. But I don't know. I'm not, as I said, I'm not too educated on it. And at this stage, I'm just kind of going with the flow and see what happens.
All right, Nath, good on you, mate. All the best with it, and a great first up win for the Panthers.
Cheers. Thank you.
There he is, Nathan Cleary, joining us. It's the Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M. It's thanks to King G. Now, that's the situation with the Panthers last night. And Hoops, let me bring you in with this. We haven't spoken much about the Roosters. Given what you blokes said earlier about George Williams and the role he has to play at Canberra with Whiten and Hodgson around him, and now the Roosters have this new halfback in Flano's young fella, Kyle Flanagan, is it much the same for him at the Roosters? We got the chance to have a look at him last night.
Oh, no, I don't think it is much the same in that, you know, Luke Keary will now be the primary general at the Sydney Roosters. We've seen what he can do. He's already won a couple of competitions with the Chooks and also won at the Bunnies as well. So he's got plenty of runs on the board. They've also got other gun players in key positions, James Tedesco, Jake Friend, and then, of course, they got this, you know, young gun hooker who could be anything in Sam Verrill. So I think Kyle Flanagan's role at the Roosters is fairly simplistic. He just needs to make his tackles and play his role. He doesn't need to try and overplay his hand. I imagine, Gerds, it'd be it's the ideal situation, is it, for a young player to come into a superstar side and get told, okay, here's your role, now learn off all these gun players.
Yeah, look, it's they missed Cooper Cronk last night because it was the back end of their sets where they lost their way, and it was in the second half, and Cooper's the kind of guy that, you know, when the momentum swings, he's got the experience to get his teams out of those situations, and he's done it year after year after year for every club that he's been at. Now, Luke Keary's certainly capable of doing that, but he didn't do it last night, and when it sort of then you can't expect a young guy, you know, in his first season like Flanagan to pull those same reins and get that same result. So I think he made 26 or 28 tackles last night, really solid defensively, looked sharp with the football. He's a good goal kicker, so he's got plenty of strings to his bow. But he's not going to, replace Cooper Cronk with that experience in a hurry. No one will, and that's just a part of the game. The Roosters, you know, need to make sure they work out later on in the season as they go along. When they get into those situations, it's a lot of pressure for young Luke Keary. Mm. He's still young, won 3 premierships, but he's going to need some help.
Yeah. Do you think the Roosters can make it a three-peat, Gerds? I mean, we'd spoken a lot about the Raiders in the off-season. We spoke a lot about Parramatta for some reason at the Triple M season launch. But what about the Roosters? They've made it 2. Can they make it 3?
Well, they're certainly going to be thereabouts. I don't think they'll win the premiership again, but I certainly think that they're, you know, they're such a clinical organisation. You know, when they go on the field, you know, their best and their worst are so close together, aren't they? Like, they got beat last night, and they were still a 7, and the Panthers had to play at a sort of 8.5. So they're going to compete every weekend, and if you compete every weekend, you find yourself in the finals, and when you get in the finals, anything can happen.
Yeah, I still think they've got the best roster too. If you go through the player for player and look at their spine, their forwards, their back five, and their depth particularly, I just think they're really well placed, the Roosters. And, you know, I defy anyone to be able to find a team that's from one to player 1 to 20 has got more strength.
They're just battle hardened, aren't they, Kenty? And you look at the team that took the field last night. They didn't have Boyd Cordner. Mm. They didn't have Angus Crichton. They're going to have Josh Morris in another week after round 2. So I think they are a very realistic chance of becoming the first side since we saw the Eels all those years ago, 81, 82, 83, of winning 3 premierships in a row.
And the thing about the Roosters, the hard thing about defending as premiers and winning it again, and where teams have fallen down in the past, is the motivation. And I thought Cooper Cronk, I was talking to him the other day about it, and he was saying how when he was at Melbourne, the job was to come back the following year and to be better than what you were. And so a lot of teams, when they're defending premiers, come back and they're revving pretty high from round 1. And Trent Robinson last year, he took a different approach. He didn't have them revving high, and he didn't have them, we've got to be better than we were last year. What he did was early in the season, knowing he had the talent at the club, he had just a couple of key things in each game he wanted to see them do. But if they were down in other areas, he wore that because he knew that they could fix that. And then over the course of the season, they slowly put all the pieces back together. So by the time you got to the end of the season, they were playing better football than practically anyone except probably the Raiders at the time. They ran second. Okay, they were sitting in the top 4 there nice and securely. And you hadn't noticed them all year. And you suddenly said, Nathan, hang on, the Roosters, they're there again and haven't really been spoken about.
Yeah.
So I just think that they'll follow a similar pattern this year where they'll go through, they won't say a lot, they won't do a lot, but they'll just keep putting the wins away, and then come the end of the season, they'll start building up again, and I think that's the point that their talent then begins to come through.
Okay, 133353 is the number. We tried this earlier, our phones went into meltdown, but they're fixed now. We've had the technicians in here, a whole team of them in here, and they've fixed the phone. So if you want to have your say about the tack the NRL has taken with the coronavirus issue. Get on the phone now, 1-3-3-5-3. Do you like the fact that we're going to play on? Do you like this talk about everybody being relocated to one part of Australia to play these games? Would you rather see the competition suspended? You are invested in the game. If you are a member, if you're a team supporter, if you have paid channel, whatever, you are invested in the game. Get on the phone. Give us your thoughts. 1-3-3-5-3. You got Gerds. You got Kenny. You got Hoops. You got Maroon. We're doing it thanks to King G. It's the Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin. Of course, our man Dan Ganane will be in this afternoon at 4 to call that big game for you at Lotto Land, Melbourne versus Manly. So that's a great old grudge match, that one. And let's hope that the Seagulls get off to a great start. Then the game tonight, Dragons up against the West's Tigers. The boys will get a chance to talk about that game a little bit later on. Look, let's get onto these phones. 1-3-3-5-3. You heard the press conference this morning. You heard what Peter Volandis had to say, the chairman of the ARL Commission. You heard what Todd Greenberg had to say, the CEO of the NRL. Games will continue into next week. It's a constantly changing situation. Games will not be played in front of fans. Members are on the phone, 1-3-3-5-3. Everybody wants to have their say in one way or the other. Let's start off with Dirk in Chatswood. Dirk, go for your life.
Okay, guys, thanks for having me. Look, I saw the Peter Volandis interview this morning, I think, on the Footy Show, and where he's appealing for a government handout. I'm a great fan of the game, but the thought of the government bailing out rugby league, you've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. There are so many other priorities in the economy, small businesses, etc. Rugby league, very, very, very low on my priorities.
Well, Dirk, I don't think you quite understand, because the government is helping our small businesses. It's announced a $17 billion funding package to help those people. And as Peter Volandis said, rugby league's a social multiplier. So what rugby league takes in, it also generates money. So it actually does stimulate the economy. And that's where I think rugby league has a case to say to the government, you help us and we'll eventually end up helping you through what the money filtering through the game. So I think that's why the NRL needs to approach the government. I think that's why the government should listen to them.
Do you think they should also help support things such as paying for Cameron Smith's wife's $15,000 ring?
Well, if you know my position on that, Dirk, then you wouldn't ask the question.
Thanks, Dirk. Go on, mate. Sorry, I thought... No, he's gone. All right. Thank you, Dirk. And, mate, we welcome your call. You don't have to agree with what everyone else here thinks. We appreciate you listening, and we thank you for your call. 1-3-3-5-3 in Castle Craig is where we'll find Al. Al, you've got the floor now. Go for your life.
G'day, guys. I've worked with Peter when he was the CEO of the STC. He's a good operator, mate. I've worked with him behind the scenes on things. I'd suggest if he can get the game going and in one location and it stays on the air, those TV rights could be the most lucrative sports rights in the world right now. You've got to think about it. There's no NBA. There's no Premier League. There's no Super League rugby. And in the 70s, ESPN survived in America by showing AFL games or BFL games, if you go back in history.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Al. I think that's one of the things the NRL has actually recognised, because right around the world now, there's a lot of broadcasters who don't have content. We've seen the NBA suspended in America. Now, if you go to ESPN, for example, and they've got a big slot there for where they're supposed to put a Warriors-Lakers game, and they can't show that game, and the NRL says, well, listen, we'll let you have a look at our game. It basically opens up a free market.
Yeah, mate, you've got a monopoly almost. What a chance. If you can get the player safety and health right, which I think you can, you can have a free shot at this. Imagine, like, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to hit the global market. And there's nothing to bet on.
Good on you, Al. Thanks for your thoughts too, mate. 1-3-3-5-3. It's the Sunday Sin Bin. We're just taking your calls on the situation with the coronavirus and the NRL deciding to play on. Next caller is Richard, who is in the beautiful city of Brisbane. Richard, what do you want to say, mate?
Good afternoon, fellas. Mate, this thing Volandis trying to pump with the hit the government for some funds, I reckon that we should also get in bed, God forbid, with the AFL. Because every man and his dog... Yeah, I know, mate. Tell me about it. Every man and his dog's got their hand out to the government at the moment, right?
Mm.
Okay, now, the same reasoning applies to the AFL. God forbid I said that again. That's a community-type thing. It's a social thing. It's a binding thing, if you know what I mean. I've been to Melbourne. I've seen what they do. You know?
Well, as I was just going to say, Richard, we saw back in the 30s during the Depression the impact that a horse like Farlap and a cricketer like Bradman had on society, and I think that rugby league and AFL in the current environment are similar.
Yeah, well, that's exactly where I'm coming from. And again, if we go together, we got more chance. You know what I mean? That's just the way I feel anyway.
Good on you, Richard. Thank you for
70,
your call,
30, Richard, sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, good feedback there,
maybe
too.
Maybe 80-20.
1-3-3-5-3. Now, let's go to Redlands. Shane's got an interesting take on this. Shane, go for your life.
I think the league needs to stand up and well, first of all, just show that it actually does stand for something. Cut out the whining and just get on business as normal. I'm in the car now with my son. We just left it the junior footy game where we've got some teams in the competition. It's at trial stages at the moment, the competition. There are already some teams, clubs are pulling their teams. You've got them swapping DNA on the field but not allowed to shake hands after the game. I just think it's an opportunity for the league to actually stand up for something and, just get on with it.
Well, I think that's what they're Yeah, no, it's a very fair point, Shane, and that's what they're doing. That's what Peter Volandis has outlined and Todd Greenberg this morning is that, you know, while it stands at the moment that this pandemic is going around the world and other overseas sports have already opted to suspend competitions, etc., rugby league, while it is still able to go on and play games, is going to continue because they feel as though they need to do that
We can't be careless, though, because, Gerds was saying earlier that, countries like Italy and Spain, when it first began to emerge, just marched on regardless, we'll be okay. And it's come back to bite them on the backside because they haven't contained it in any way. So we do need to be a little bit diligent, a little bit smart about how we handle it. I don't think we can just say, we'll be right, let's get on with it, because it's a genuine worldwide problem.
All right, 1-3-3.
Well, you've got to say that up to the professionals. You know, the players look after them. But obviously, they can't look after other people's hygiene, which is
the danger is the spreading of the disease. That's the danger at the moment. So the more we gather and the more we're in these situations, the more it's going to spread. So at the moment, until we have an antidote or a vaccine that can actually come out and start treating people, we need to be as careful as we can because we're spreading the disease. Not everybody. Look, the players, as Peter Vellini says, they won't be affected themselves physically that much. They're in good shape, and it's really only affecting people who are already got some sort of chink in the armor, whether they've got respiratory problems, whether they've got heart problems, or they're doing chemotherapy or things like that. But look, we don't want to affect those, but we don't want to harm those people. Mm. So we need to be a little bit considerate, I think.
Okay, Sunday Sinbin on Triple M Gerds, Paul Kent, Hoops, Maroon, 1-3-3-5-3 is our number. We do it. Thanks to our mates at King G. Now, this next guest on the phone is the Prince of Triple M. When we're all having Devon, he's having ham. When we're having seafood extender, he's having king prawns. It's the King, Gus Wallen. What brings you to the phone?
Oh, boys, firstly, thank you for having taken my call. But and in terms of what I'm doing now with the Gotcha for Life and all the mental fitness and mental health stuff, I've listened to the press conference this morning and I realised the dangers. I've got a daughter in Japan I'm trying to get home, a wife in Japan I'm trying to get home, I've got an elderly mum that's got a bad ticker. So I understand there's a lot going on in the world, but there's something really awesome about the heads of our game standing up today and saying, you know, we're going to go on as best we can. It's a fluid situation, but we're a chance to get to round two. We're going to play games this afternoon. Just the mental fitness, the mental health when the start of the season happens, building up to it, how exciting it is to have games going on. There's something really, really important for us to be able to have these moments to look forward to read about Kenty, to read about Hoops and stuff in the paper. It's really a huge part of the fabric of our organisation and our country to be able to keep going. So let's sort of get behind the game and realise how bloody difficult it is to make these calls with so many unknowns, but realise that if we do go ahead, it's just so good for our mental health as much as anything else.
Yeah, well said, Gus. I mean, I don't think enough people think of that. Like, you know, a lot of people haven't got a lot of other stuff going on in their life, and they know come mid-March, the footy's on. Good on you, Gussie.
Yes, exactly right. And love the show, boys. Enjoying it. Look forward to hearing more of it this summer.
Good on you, mate. We'll catch you on the Dead Set Legends with Wendell Saylor and the great Jude Bolton. This is the Sunday Sinbin on Triple M. 1-3-3-5-3 is our number. Gerds, Hoops, Paul Kent and Maroon. I think we've got time for one more call, have we? Let's go to back to Brisbane. Bill, go for your life.
Hey, guys. First of all, a great show. Thanks very much. Look, just a suggestion. I'm not an expert, but from what I've sort of heard, that obviously to be able to catch the virus, you know, generally you've got to have be in the vicinity of somebody that has it for about a 15-minute period. Now, maybe the NRL could turn around and look at the option of now taking the games to smaller regional areas with smaller crowds and saying, okay, right, well, you know, if you're going to come in part of your entry ticket and the conditions are that you wear one of these masks, okay, one of those surgical masks, and if you don't want it, then you just sit at home and watch it. But maybe it could be a chance to go get the game in front of smaller crowds in regional areas, because that's always been very successful. Always get good crowds in, because they don't normally get a chance to see these sort of large games. So you've got atmosphere there for the players. Everybody wears a mask if they're going to participate, hand washes and so forth, and then you're still getting the game going with the crowd. I know, this is certainly an opportunity if it's managed correctly. And the rest of the world could turn around and say, hey, look, you know, Australia's leading the world in a different approach rather than cancel the games. It's the best of what they've got.
It's a fair point you make, Bill, but I think at this stage, the way that the NRL are dealing with it is they're taking all the advice. They're being guided by the government. They're being guided by the World Health Organization. Whatever their advice is around crowds, well, they're simply following suit.
All right.
Okay, so if they're playing in empty stadiums, is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, but Bill, there's also a problem if you look at it the other way. If you start taking games to smaller venues, you're also at risk of then taking the virus to smaller venues. Mm. And places out in the bush that currently don't have anybody infected suddenly could be, and you're actually then spreading the disease. So I think that needs to be a consideration as well.
Good on you, Bill. Thank you for your call. Great calls all around there. Sunday Sinbin on Triple M. Gerds, Hoops, Kenny, Maroon. Now, no one will forget where they were yesterday when the Knights beat the Warriors 20-0. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about that game as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Sinbin.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to it at Triple M _NRL. Keep your tweets and emails coming in. We've got a busy day in here. We've got our very own James Hooper. The guys from Fox League are in here setting up. You can do a bit of Fox League while you're here, Hoops. Now, I was wondering why you're wearing that shirt.
I am, Anthony, and I'll tell you what, I've just had a text message from one of the Dead Set legends,
yeah,
the one and only dual international Wendell Saylor. Mm, mm. He said, can you ask Maroon, is he worried about cashies? Right. As a result of this coronavirus?
Well, I don't know. I never see any cashies. What I like to do, like, as you said to me in the off-season, mate, how I operate is I'd like to keep that to myself, okay? Yeah.
You'll probably get more gigs, Maroon, because you're not allowed to have 500 people or more, and you never get that anyway. So I'll be probably booking you out for the next couple of months.
Oh, you idiots. Anyway, what is going on here? Why is Fox League here?
Well, because as Peter Volandi's outlined this morning, Anthony, this is one of the greatest games that one of the greatest crosses the game has ever faced in terms of rugby league. So I've got to talk about it for the Sunday ticket.
It's a day in the life of Hoops.
I would say
compelling viewing on what night is it? Hoops, they follow you around for the day. You have breakfast. It's live, is it?
What I'd say if you've got Fox League at home, I know you're having cost cutting at Fox, but they've started with that shirt, haven't they? That looks like a mechanic shirt and they've ripped the label off the pocket. Where did you get that?
Are there no mirrors at your house?
Mate, I don't go on the telly. You don't
what
have to
are
worry
you
about
at the moment.
You don't have to worry about what I wear. I don't
it's
go on the telly.
Retirement condominiums. It says so on the shirt.
That's Del Boca Vista. That's a Seinfeld reference. Del Boca Vista. Where Jack Klompas and Doris Klompas is. Anyway, let's talk about the footy. Knights defeated the Warriors 20-0. We called that game on the Triple M network, Ryan Girdler.
Yes, we did.
Right from the word go, we said, oh, the Warriors, here they go again.
Yeah, it was a poor... Well, they actually started with a little bit of energy yesterday and looked okay for the first eight or 9 minutes. But, it wasn't their finest moment and a little bit disappointing after coming off what would have been a long pre-season. Take nothing away from the Knights, though. I mean, they look pretty sharp. They controlled the ball really well. Kalen Ponga was outstanding yesterday positionally, and their back rowers, and they just look a lot hungrier. They wanted the result. The Warriors, for mine, a lot of work to do. Wasn't a lot of positives. You could see Kearney sort of made some changes to their personnel. He put Fusatura in the centres and put Herbert on the wing. That didn't seem to work. He started Nikorima on the bench and left the pretty much the running of the side to Harris, Tavita and Green. That didn't really work, and their go forward was minimal. They tried young Wade Egan at dummy half, and he had a tough day at the office. So just, you know, wasn't many good signs to come out of that one from the Warriors. But give them credit where it's due. They've done the right thing by the game and the NRL, and they will be staying
that's
on.
That's true.
I wonder if they're second-guessing that decision.
Well, just to interrupt, Scott Morrison has now announced travel bans for Australia, which are very similar to the New Zealand ones, which meant if the Warriors would have gone home in an attempt to come back, they wouldn't have got back in. But anyway, the game yesterday, did you see it, Paul?
No, I didn't. I saw a bit of it on the highlights, Anthony. I was actually otherwise occupied. Let me just say, I think, though, I like what Cooper Cronk had to say after the game about how he actually tipped the Knights this year as a top four side because he said they'll be getting some football education that they haven't had in them for some time. And I thought it was an interesting way to look at it. And you wonder, looking through that filter, what sort of improvement we're going to see out of the Knights this season.
What about with the Warriors? We talk about coaches who are under...
He was just talking about the Knights. Yeah, well, what are you going back to the Warriors for?
Because it's my job to facilitate what he says.
Because his T-shirt's too tight. There's not enough blood in the brain.
PK, it's interesting. Like, I always thought the Knights looked like, for the last couple of years, they always had a really good plan when they had the football. Mm. I'm not sure what happened up there last year, but how they capitulated at the back end of the season. We saw them went on a really good run in the middle of the year, but I always thought they looked like a team with a plan to me, and they were well coached. Yesterday, obviously, probably too early to see what they're going to do with the football this year. The combinations look pretty good with Ponga, Pierce. I'm not sure whether they're going to stick with Kurt Mann as six. And again, Jaden Bradley looks like he's going to be a great acquisition for the side. But what I did see is a fit-looking footy side that were up and about. They were aggressive.
Defensively, I think.
And defensively, they were good.
That was I think that's going to be the big change in the Knights because there's a lot more wrestling in their training these days, which you've got to do to be competitive. They're a lot more structured defensively than what they were. Yep. I think Nathan Brown had a pretty good attacking plan when he was the coach there, but I don't think they put a lot of work into their defence, and I think that's going to be the real improvement because obviously Adam O'Brien, the head coach, he comes from 10 years working with Craig Bellamy in the last year working under Trent Robinson, so he clearly has an understanding of how important defence is and obviously the wrestling tactics and all the rest of it is to get the team going well. So I think that's where we're going to see the real improvement in Knights, and I think the fact that they did keep the Warriors, who can score points, to nil, augurs well as well.
And they lost a few guys in the outside backs as well. So, you know, you got young Best that's coming through their system. He'll probably push his way into that side somewhere. They started with Shibasaki and Tuala, who probably won't be their centres for the majority of the year. They've got Moga to come back. That Matautia didn't play as well. So they had a few injuries to some of those key positions out wide, but through the middle, they look pretty solid.
What about, though, I have to ask you guys, like the Warriors, there was no difference to what we saw and we were disappointed with last year. And we always say that there's a couple of coaches under pressure. Surely this bloke's under pressure to keep his job.
Well, he has to be, Anthony. There's no way you can sugarcoat it or sidestep around it. I think his win percentage ratio, when you take in his time at Parramatta and then also at the Warriors as well, is only a tick over 30% in the NRL in professional sport. That's not going to cut it. So certainly for Stephen Kearney, he needs to try and turn it around as fast as possible. They need to win games.
He was an interesting choice, wasn't he, Hoops, when he got the job because there were one or two other good coaches floating around.
Yeah, but I think he signed an extension on the back of the fact that they'd made the finals and they've always promised so much for so many years, the Warriors. And Steve Kearney, in fairness, was able to get them into the final series that particular season. They ended up going out the back door anyway. They were beaten by Penrith in the opening week and took no further part. But that was when he jumped in and that was when negotiations went on for him to get this extension he's carrying in the middle.
I've been saying this for years about the Warriors. The Warriors have got to change their policy. They've got this idea that they want to have all Kiwi players. Okay, they're not playing. It's not an international competition. They should be just going and getting the best players in whatever position. But there's this need, and I think it lends into the marketing and the selling of the club and the club identity that they want all New Zealand players. I just don't think they are so inconsistent as a team. They're up and down, and they've been so inconsistent. I would go to the point of saying decades. And I think that all comes back to their junior football is not as strong in New Zealand as it is in rugby, as it is in Australia. In rugby league, and because of that, the players learn bad habits, and there's too much emphasis on talent over discipline and hard work that we see here with some of these guys that come through in Australia. So therefore, by the time these guys get to the NRL level, there's still some real holes in what their football education is, and they never quite fix that. So they've got the talent. They can do the acrobatics. They can do when they've got the momentum, they can just tear you apart. But when it comes time to settle into the grind and just do what Parramatta did the other night and just tough out a win, because that's the way to win the game. The Warriors, they've never shown any appetite for that.
Just a quick one. Can I ask you a quick one? The question has not been asked yet. We're all here saying now, good on the Warriors, good on them, they're going to stay in Australia, they've done the right thing by the NRL. But let me start with you, Hoops. How much would it have been the NRL saying to the Warriors, hey, we need you blokes to stay here. We're asking you if you don't mind, but you're going to be staying here.
Oh, look, without doubt, there was some very tough conversations had last night as soon as the Warriors came off the field after that loss to Newcastle. Todd Greenberg, you know, they all jumped on a bus, the Warriors, and travelled down to Sydney. Todd Greenberg went straight to the hotel and spoke to the coach, Stephen Kearney, their CEO, Cameron George, and the rest of the playing group as well, and explained, look, these are unforeseen circumstances, extremely tough times. This is the situation. I dare say the NRL had the tip, PK, that Australia was also about to shut its borders off, and that if the Warriors did leave the country, that the chances were they weren't going to be able to get back in unless they were quarantined for 14 days.
Not only that, by then, Jacinta Ardern had already announced of the 14-day incubation period in New Zealand. So that meant if the Warriors did return home, the Raiders couldn't go over and play.
Yeah, correct.
So therefore, that game was done. So there's no doubt Todd Greenberg has said, if you do go back, guys, there's a real threat here that you jeopardise the competition and certainly the integrity of the competition, because if that's one game that goes missing, that's got to be replayed at some point later in the season. We don't know what's going to happen, obviously, going ahead. But that was clearly a conversation and had to happen. Whether they got the tip that Australia was going to follow suit, I don't know. But the fact is that if the Warriors went home, the competition would be jeopardised.
And just back to your question, Maroon, about coaches, because you love talking about which coach is going to be sacked first after a loss in round one. It's your favourite coach.
I think the biggest
decision they need to make, the Warriors, if this does happen to Kearney, is around who they invest on coming in to run that organisation. In the past, they've gone for guys like Matty Elliott, McFadden and Kearney. They need to get a big hitter. They need a guy that's had success in an Australian club that can take his systems over there and give him the time to implement those and give him the reins and let him do a proper job. Of Bellamy.
Long term.
Someone that's...
Wayne.
Well, maybe Wayne, but, you know, maybe Trent Robinson when he can't... Although, you know, make a big investment. I mean, the biggest investment they can make, I think, is that man that's going to lead that club, and I need to get that decision right.
Okay, good on you, mate. Sunday Sinbin on Triple M. Just repeating the news, Scott Morrison has just announced a 14-day isolation period for anyone entering Australia. A 14-day isolation period for anyone entering Australia. Sunday Sinbin continues shortly. Broncos, Cowboys and more as Triple M rocks the footy.
Woo! The Triple M Sunday Sinbin.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to the Sunday Sinbin with all the regulars back by popular demand. James, Australia's little hero, Hooper. And so too, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler and Maroon. Our number is 133353. We do it for King G. Great to have celebrations. Celebrations, we're closer than you think. Now, the scores from yesterday, Knights over the Warriors 20-0, Souths over the Sharks 22-18, Panthers, Roosters. That was, of course, Panthers 20, Roosters 14. And those are all thanks to our mates at Tyre Power. Buy four BF Goodrich tyres at Tyre Power and you'll receive a Yeti cooler valued at $299. Keep your Yeti nice and cool. Let's talk about that game on Thursday night to kick things off. I beg your pardon, let's start with this game firstly. Broncos, Cowboys, 28-21, an odd scoreline, but the Broncos, some of those big back rowers that we've known were going to be big, they just came out on Friday night at the new stadium at Townsville and just blew them away, Hoops.
It was a cracking contest, wasn't it? And we've seen over recent history, these two teams never fail to deliver on the biggest stage. David Fifita, write your own price tag, Anthony. He's off contract at the moment. We know that South Sydney attempted to get him. They went up there. Sammy Burgess offered him a five-year deal worth $6 million at an average of $1.2 million a season. That couldn't get him over the line. So, you know, his bargaining power at the moment is so immense on the back of that performance and all of his other performances last season. We've already discussed Tevita Pangai. He clearly needs to try and temper his ways a little bit. But for the Broncos to lose Jack Bird the way they did in the lead up to that game, Brady Croft playing his debut game for the club, and the Cowboys at home riding the wave of emotion that is the opening of their new stadium, it was a damn good performance.
Yeah, I thought the Broncos looked good. I thought Brady Croft really played within himself, which is, I think, what he needs to do. Like, he can overplay his hand a little bit, but I think he's starting to understand what he needs to do. And the way he controlled the game, I thought, was very promising for the Broncos. But I will say the Cowboys, I thought, were awful. And for a side that had so much to play for the opening of their stadium, what really concerns me about the Cowboys is they lacked energy. And I don't know if, as a roster, they can find that energy.
That's strange. I mean, they played side to side. There was, you know, they got some of the best running plays in the game, especially in their halves. And Drinkwater's a natural runner, and you've got Michael Morgan, who's a great running half, but they continue just to sort of go from side to side, and they got some good go forward there as well. Then you got Val Holmes, and you're trying to sort of get him through the middle. He likes to play on the ball, and he's always seemed to be out on an edge. And yeah, it was really strange tactically from the Cowboys. But I love watching the Broncos play when they keep things simple like that. You know, they're so big and aggressive. And Flegler, I thought, was outstanding. Him and Payne Haasen on the back of, you know, the dominant performance they had in the middle, it just allowed Croft and. And Croft just allowed Milford to play footy. And then Milford was, you know, the most dangerous man on the field, came up with a lot of offloads, didn't have to worry about where the side was and his kicking game. Yeah, they look good, the Broncos. And
The fact that Croft can come on in that last play and get a kick away takes all that pressure off Milford. Milford used to, you could see him really begin to unravel. About tackle three some sets, he'd begin to unravel because he didn't know what kick was needed. Yeah. He didn't know what he needed to do or where he needed to get the side for that. And in the end, it was like a small panic would rise in him with each tackle four, tackle five, what do I do now? And then he'd just come up with something, and it wasn't always the right option. Whereas Croft, because he's been schooled so well down in Melbourne, he knows tackle three, okay, right, I need to figure out what my kick's going to be, where I need to put the ball, and let's go. And he took care of that.
Okay, but you're going to take off at three, Paul. So before you do, mate, you're on Matty John's show tonight?
I am, yes.
Okay, well, we'll catch you on Matty John's show. Before you do go, important one we need to raise with you while you're here. Obviously, the talk through the week was the future of Todd Greenberg as the CEO of the NRL. Now, all this coronavirus drama is happening. Is it a stay of execution for Todd?
Yes.
Where are we at with that?
I think Todd is the only person in the world happy to see coronavirus because it's taken us. It's taken all the focus away. I think there's a feeling now within the NRL that this virus outbreak is so big that they just need to focus all their energy on that. Nobody knows, obviously, where the game's going. And I think Todd's future, we already know, was going to be decided on Thursday. I thought he might have been tapped on the shoulder and moved on, but I think there's certainly a feeling now within the game. I think Michael Carrianos wrote about it in the paper today. There's a feeling within the game that they just need to deal with this current crisis at the moment. And that Todd will be dealt with later down the line. And I think it's actually a good opportunity for Todd now to come out and actually say to the NRL, okay, this is what I can do. This is a very delicate time for the game. And if Todd can come through this and really do some positives and really step forward as a leader for the game and hold the game together. Yeah, the great leaders are born in war, you know what I mean? And while this is not a war, it is a crisis facing the game. It's an opportunity for Todd as a leader to be able to say, this is why you need me. And so I'm going to watch with interest what happens over the next few months.
Okay, mate, we'll catch you on Fox. We'll see you on NRL 360 tomorrow night.
You will.
Good to see you again. Ryan Girdler's in here for the last hour. So too is Hoops. And, of course, at 4 o'clock today, our match of the day, Manly and the Melbourne Storm at Lotto Land. You get it all right here on the Sunday Sin Bin because Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.